As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people came and put large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give it all you've got. When do you recall hearing those words? For me, I put it in terms of athletes. We've got a lot of athletes in our congregation, or former athletes. I wish Carrie Walters was here. She's our resident marathon runner. I've heard you can only, I think the professionals even, the best of the marathon runners, can only run 4 in a year. Is that right? Something like that? Because there is only so much you can give. Your muscles have to repair themselves. But I do think about athletes who run races. And whether it's a short distance and you're running incredibly fast, or whether it's a long distance and you're trying to maintain a pace that can win without killing yourself, or whether you're running up and down a basketball court or a football field, athletes understand, give it all you've got. And I think most of them understand too that when they think they've given it all they've got, there is just a little more to give. There's a little more reserve. That's how we grow. By using those muscles. Well, our faith muscles are sort of like that. When we start trusting God, we realize that we can trust God with more. When we let go of our anxieties and give them to God, God fills us with peace, gives us what we need, whether it be emotional or physical or relational. And so we have this story about these two women in 2 different stories. The widow that the prophet Elijah meets, and the widow that Jesus observes, they don't have much to start with. The widow that Elijah encounters is pretty much at the end of her rope. And then this guy comes knocking on the door and says, I'd like supper, please. And her response is, it's heartbreaking. She says, well, I have a little meal in a jar, and I have a little bit of oil. We were just going to eat it and die, but what's one more? And she fed the prophet. And the story says, that meal never ran out. God provided what they needed. The gospel story, too, talks about a widow who puts two mites into the offering. Now, it's kind of cool to imagine, but apparently the way they did the offering back then, it's kind of like a noisy offering, was they had this cone-shaped metal piece, kind of like a trumpet, that you put your coins in. You threw them in. It was large at the top, smaller at the bottom, like the old toll booth things where you could just throw the coins in and it would count them. And there was a big metal bowl at the bottom, or box. And so as you put your coins in, they would clunk. And the coins that she had, I don't know if you can see this, but I'll leave it out later. This is actually a widow's mite. I think I spent probably $20 for it at an antique shop. But it was worthless, just about worthless. Two of them were worth a penny in our day. And Beth knows, she got our kids to tell you what a penny's worth in our day. Or a quarter, or a dollar. But it was all she had. And Jesus knew that. And see, the thing about those offering systems was you could tell by the sound how much money someone threw in. And so the wealthier people could throw in the larger coins. And when she threw in her little mites, they went, but Jesus knew the sacrifice that she made. That her gift was to God. Not for the sake of building repairs. Not for the sake of a specialized ministry project. But to God. Let me drop a number on you. 2,350. Anybody want to guess what that number means? 2,350. The number of times that the Bible talks about money. Talks about giving and stewarding. Now, I don't talk about it very often because money is only one of the gifts that God gives us. And yet when we give of it, we give as we do our other gifts. The Bible talks about giving in three ways. We give out of gratitude. We bring food for the food pantry because our tables are full. And we give birthday cakes to kids at GHS North because we know how special it is to be remembered at our birthday. We give because we're grateful to God that we have. And we want to share. Generosity is the other part of giving. We have gratitude, we have generosity. It feels good to give. I don't think Beth had to probably worry too long about, wow, should I give those kids 50 cents each? That could add up if there's a lot of kids in church. No, Beth's generous. You're generous. I don't know how many times I've told other people, my church isn't rich, but it's generous. Gratitude, generosity, and trust. The third one is trust. And that's where these widows are in our stories in Scripture today. They trusted that if they gave of themselves, that God would take care of the rest. Now, I'm not sure how trusting that woman that Elijah encountered was. She's like, yeah, I'll give it, and then I'll die. But I'll die either way, whether I feed you or whether I feed myself and my son. I don't know. But she gave, as did the widow that Jesus encountered, because she trusted. Gratitude, generosity, and trust. Whether we give of our time, our talents, our treasures, if we can keep those three principles in mind and ask ourselves, how blessed am I? What does it feel like to be a giving person? And can I trust that God will take care of the rest of my needs? Are there questions for us to ponder? For we know the one who has given it all for us. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did not count the cost, but came that we all might have life and have it abundantly. Now, when Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, he wasn't talking about the kind of abundance that we think of. Certainly not when we think of watching NFL stars and thinking about, whoa, they make millions to throw and catch a football. But abundant in that place where you know yourself, where the peace of God resides. Is there an abundance there? May it be so for each of you. May the peace and the love and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you today and always. Amen.